Welcome to the AI Learners Lounge. I'm your host, Cambria, and this is a podcast where AI meets learning and development. From exploring how AI facilitates individual learning to understanding its integration into broader organizational strategies, we tackle it all. Every episode brings fresh perspectives, innovative ideas, and actionable advice for those looking to weave AI into the fabric of the modern learning experience. Join me as we navigate the intersection of technology and human potential right here on the AI Learner Lounge. Welcome back to the AI Learner Lounge podcast for episode 34, A Tale of Two Companies. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. When I read Charles Dickens' famous opening from A Tale of Two Cities, it really resonates with me because it seems to reflect a lot of what we're seeing with AI today, right? We see the good, we see the bad, we see the light, the dark, the hope, and the despair all at once. And there's a lot of conversations out there about whether AI is bringing change for the better or if the cost is just too high. So we really need to reflect on how we can balance the need for innovation with our needs as humanity. And it's something that's really top of mind for me and for many others, I'm sure, too. So today, we're going to look at two different companies and their drastically different approaches to AI implementation and really managing the human side of it and the human impact and change that comes along with that. So there are a lot of fears out there on social media, in the news, just in daily conversations about AI leading to job loss or decreased hours, decreased pay. Just last week, The Guardian published an article highlighting a report from the Institute for Public Policy Research that said that almost 8 million UK jobs could be lost to AI in a jobs apocalypse. So it's really scary sounding when we have an apocalypse out here coming for all of our jobs. And they looked at it in two waves. So the first wave is really where we're at now. And they looked at all types of jobs. And 11% of the tasks currently being done by workers were at risk, mainly when it comes to routine cognitive tasks. So things that are pretty simple, straightforward to do. But the second wave, that's really where we're going to see a lot of the impact. And worst case scenario, they estimate that for the second wave of AI, 7.5 million jobs could be displaced. And that's where we start to see it affect non-routine tasks like creating databases, copywriting, graphic design, and instructional design even. So there's been a lot of research that validates some of these fears that we're having about AI replacing us and displacing our jobs. And we like to think, oh, there's things AI can never do that only humans can do. But in reality, the gap between what it can do and what it can't do is really shrinking. And being in phase one right now, we're seeing some companies make a lot of advancements with AI, but a lot of it is focused on cost savings. And often with that, employees are kind of an afterthought. So this is what we've seen with Klarna's approach to AI implementation and the impact it has on employees there. So for context, Klarna is a Swedish financial tech company. They have the buy now, pay later type system. So if you're on Amazon, you don't want to pay for something upfront, maybe it's a large purchase, you can choose the buy now, pay later option and it'll split it into monthly payments for you. Now, maybe they're not with Amazon, only certain ones are, but that's how it works anyway. So back in late February, they had announced that they had been using a new AI assistant that was powered by OpenAI, and it was live for about a month when it was shared. So during that 1 month time, it handled 2.3 million customer service chats in 35 different languages to help customers save time managing their refunds and their returns. So they also found that it was more accurate in resolving some of the issues, and they had a 25% drop in repeat inquiries when they had this AI bot tool. So all in all, it handles the work of an estimated 700 full-time agents. So there is still an option to talk to a live agent or to escalate it, but even with that human option and bringing that human into the loop when it's needed, it still reduces the need for how many employees they need doing this kind of work. Now, a spokesperson for Klarna, they told Forbes in an article that I have link to in the description for this episode, that their adoption of AI, it didn't directly explain last year's drop in headcount. So we can't say definitively that one led to the other, but they did see a reduction of 25% in their headcount. And they didn't say that it's changed their recruitment strategy because they need fewer people doing the same thing now. So for certain types of positions that aren't engineering positions, they have a hiring freeze. And it seems they're kind of just waiting it out for employees to promote, go elsewhere. They might put them in a different job. They're not really taking a proactive approach to reskilling employees or role transformation or anything like that that we've seen with some other companies, like I'll share in a minute. So they've also saved $40 million of what they spend on outsourcing customer service to a supplier out of country. So the impact goes beyond just the company that's using AI. It's really a downstream impact on other companies and other workers at those companies too. With AI implementation, we see a lot of focus on the numbers, right? Like productivity rates, dollars saved, those type of things. And we've seen similar cost savings mentalities by a lot of other companies like IBM, whose CEO said he could easily see 30% of non-customer facing roles replaced by AI and automation over the next 5 years. But what's missing from these conversations and these implementation strategies is really the human element. And IKEA, on the other hand, they've taken a different approach, keeping employees at the heart of it all. So I've shared on a previous episode, Critical Thinking and AI in 2024, a little bit about IKEA's strategy and how they're using AI and what they're doing with their workforce. So I bring it up again because it's an excellent comparison of approaches companies are taking. So back in 2021, they had introduced a new AI tool called Billy for customer questions at call centers. And over 2 years, it handled 47% of calls to the call center. Now, with that, they didn't reduce headcount or make a lot of changes to hiring with their employees. What they did decide to do was focus on reskilling and transforming the call center associate job into something different, an interior design advisor. So with that effort, they had 8,500 workers trained and reskilled. Now, unfortunately, we don't know the outcomes of this because it wasn't shared. It'd be nice if we could see where the workers are now or if they promoted further, what the impact to the actual customers were. That would be helpful to know, but it's interesting to see how their approach is so drastically different than Klarna's is. And it's a really good example of how companies can get creative and leverage human talent in different ways. So instead of just focusing on cost savings, focusing on opportunities too, and bringing in the learning and development team to help with some of these initiatives. Now, as learning and development professionals, we certainly don't have a say in how companies approach AI adoption or the roles impacted by it, but we can support reskilling initiatives and leverage our skills to help with these. We can also make sure that employees are ready for the day when AI is introduced into their workflow. So building that key AI literacy and helping them understand the tools and the positive impacts that it can have on their work. Now, beyond how we support organizations and the impact to employees, we also need to realize that as organizations downsize, that's less employees that need to be trained. That's less employees that need learning strategies and performance support and all the different things that we provide. So there's going to be an impact to us too. And there's some threats with AI that could affect us. So we like to think we're specialized and maybe a little bit immune from AI replacement or automation, but we're really not. There's an interesting post on LinkedIn about how we could use AI in place of our subject matter experts initially when we're having conversations to get background context so we don't have to bother them as much or bring them in. And I'm sure on the other side of it, there's many subject matter experts or managers who are already thinking how they can use AI or other tools to create their own learning content. And that's good because they don't need us for everything. There's sometimes out there really low stakes training situations where it wouldn't be the best use of resources to use enterprise learning and development necessarily. But there's going to be a gap between what they need us for and what they don't. And that's going to shrink with AI. So at an enterprise level too, we'll see this. Like, we like to talk about augmenting with AI, but automation is a component of that too. So for example, within our workflows, we often reference being an order taker and being asked to do training when that may not necessarily be the best solution for the situation. So we do our analysis, we give recommendations, maybe, or usually probably, training isn't really the answer. So when we think about everything that goes into that with our analysis, the data we collect, our learning and development or performance improvement models that we use as foundations for this work, maybe not today, but someday, not too far from now, there could be a tool out there that triages these types of requests and assesses, maybe even gives recommendations. So if the business area wants to have a training solution developed or they need to know how to handle a challenge that they're having, the tool may ask them intake questions with follow-up and have a back and forth conversation to get the whole context. And it could be that maybe after that conversation, an electronic form is sent to other areas to learn more. And then AI takes all that and analyzes it and hands it over to us for review. So we're still in that loop, but the responsibilities with that would change. And along with that, the number of employees needed to do this work would also change. So that's where we get to thinking about how our organizations are going to handle the human impact of these solutions and if they're prepared or even want to help upskill or reskill or transform roles, or if they are just all about cost savings. So there's a lot to think about within that, and solutions don't even have to be that complicated. It could just be that the business area wants a chatbot to consult with on non-training options. So we would be removed from that loop a lot more simply than we would with a full-blown tool. So no one's immune to AI replacement fears, not even learning and development. But by understanding that, that's where we can start to consider how our roles might shift. And areas we really need to be spending time developing, we can identify what those are. So like our critical thinking or our communication skills, our human qualities, and then really get comfortable with using AI and understanding its capabilities and limitations. So when these tools are rolled out, we can see where the gaps are and where we may still need to fill a role as a human in that process. Thank you for joining me for episode 34, the AI Learner Lounge. Please join me again next Tuesday.